speaker, Martin Coughlin. He's actually a colleague of mine. I was telling a few people last night, it wasn't until I became part of the framework that I realised that, you know, the width and breadth of the influence that Michael has in the e-learning community. I just, you know, knew Michael Coughlin as part of Take the Say and didn't know that he was actually quite well known for a lot of things in the area of e-learning. So Michael's an online facilitator, staff trainer and e-mentor for clients and for staff. For the South Australia, for the TAFE SA, as well as the Australian Flexible Learning Framework. His interests are in webcasting, web-based voice technology, social software, networked learning, and the influence that the internet can have on education and society. So, and are people aware that we're also having some external people coming into Michael's section via Illuminate as well?
Thank you, Alison. Nice to be here, and thank you. I'm sure other people were responsible, but Howard was the one who actually made the direct approach, so thanks, Howard. Yeah, this is anything goes here, really, today. As Alison said, we've got 9 people together with us online, and we're using Illuminate. So what I'm attempting to do is do a session for us here in the room and for people who couldn't be here or who would like to experience it remotely. And hopefully, in an engaging fashion, there are people gathered in Illuminate. I've already asked people in Illuminate to say where they are. Joe and Stefan, I know Stefan's in Adelaide. Joe looks like she's in Melbourne. Andrew is in New Zealand, and there are other people there who haven't taken the opportunity to tell us. Oh, David's up in the northwest. You finally can see the slide. Great, David. And when I say anything goes, It's quite a challenge to present information to 2 different audiences at the same time. And we're using this thing, it's now commonly known as a multiple venue presentation, or MVP, a blending of live online and face-to-face events. And it actually enables a whole range of configurations. We're not just trapped, of course, to the standard presentation style or classroom style where teacher and students are in the same room. You can have that option. If you like, for the purposes of this exercise, you can imagine that you're the class, I'm the teacher, so everything is as normal. We're in the same room together. I just happen to have a little microphone here, which is hooked up to Illuminate, which enables anyone who's logged into this same session to hear everything you're seeing and see everything you're seeing, give or take some minor detail like someone, I don't know, scratching the back of their head or pouring a drink of water. People could be outside if they had a wireless connection, sitting outside under the blue sky. They could be in a computer room. They could be in a public space like a restaurant. The fact is there are no limits to where people can receive and participate in these sessions. People may have seen Chris Sutton's presentation from the beach on the Gold Coast during the recent eShow and Tell event. So just to prove the point, they did it from the beach. So it's a multiple venue presentation. So people online and people here in the room, anytime you want to say something, either call out, or people online maybe put your hand up to click the hands up button, or you can put your comments on people online in the text chat. But rather than wait till the end for any questions, comments, please just shout them out or put your hand up if there's something you'd like to say. Don't wait. Okay. Before we hear him, now people online, if you don't hear this quite as well as I'd like, it's because it may not have fully loaded for you. This is just, I mean, this is an obvious place to start. We're talking about an engagement. Clearly there's some inferring here or implicit in the title that technology is going to have a role. So let's do the obvious.
Changing world.
Well, indeed. Now, there was a discussion just before lunch about people who live in the wheat belt, wherever the wheat belt is, and not a hope in hell you'd be able to get that in the wheat belt, but don't worry, because I have great difficulty in the middle of Adelaide getting Second Life reliably without my computer going into overdrive. So I'm not suggesting we do this now. I am suggesting, I don't think you could argue with the engagement factor of something like that. I'm reminded of an old Master's Apprentice song of someone my age. Be what you want to be, go where you want to go, do what you want to do, yeah. And you can, Second Life, you can do it without any kind of reprisal. But it's clearly, it's a place where we're going. And they reckon 80% of online users will have an online avatar in Second Life by the year 2012. One of those predictions that's going to be interesting to track. As a slightly different version of the way that media and technology is having an impact. Now, people online, you're going to have to actually move the media. The audio is going to play in a separate screen that will be blank. Drag that audio screen off so that if you want to look at the slide while you're listening to the guitar, do. And for those who've seen this before, maybe apologies, or you might just be rapt to hear this again. Made, this young man was 13 years old. He lives in Korea, and some of you will know the story. And I'll tell the story because even though it's an old one by now, when internet parlance is probably a year and a half old, it demonstrates a million points about what we're talking about on the internet with participatory media, engagement, the role of a global audience versus a local audience. That video, when I checked the other day, or yesterday, has been viewed 33 million times. You know how YouTube counts the number of times it's been viewed, and you can probably subtract a certain number because of his family and friends, but even so, you know, basically the entire planet is having a look at that. And just a quick list of populations of various countries, Australia's just top 20.1. That kid has a viewing audience of something in excess of the population of Australia. And he's not alone. There are lots of them. So it's a bit strange when a child like that goes to school and, of course, is told, well, you can't do that stuff. And there was reference in the sessions before lunch to the fact that all sorts of these things are blocked. Now, just to go back in time, about 50 years, this was in the war years. And look at these people. Closely sitting by the radio, the wireless. And they're clearly engaged. So what struck me about this was that here in 2007, most of us take a fair bit to impress in terms of technology and tools. We're not going to get impressed by sitting by the wireless. Well, maybe, but I think most of the people we know and teach are not. But, you know, it's all relative, isn't it? Once upon a time, this was totally engaging, and it was a technology tool that brought people into their lives. So I just wanted to do a spot check now. You feeling engaged? Anyone online care to you either put it in the text chat or you're going to put your hand up and talk to us? Is that what you want to do, Joe?
No, actually. Sorry.
What? Francois is half engaged. Anyone here in the room? I mean, you don't have to say yes, but I guess what I want to know is, how do you know that you're engaged? What are the signals for yourself? if you ask yourself that question? Pardon? You're awake. Good.
Not distracted.
Not distracted. Anything else?
Not daydreaming.
Focused. I was thinking about this last night because I had the absolute pleasure again. I'm making comments for people who were kind of representative of my generation, and why shouldn't I? I saw Crosby, Stills and Nash last night. And what happens to me at rock concerts is it about after an hour I start to drift away and wish they'd stop so I could go home and do something useful. I was riveted right to the last minute last night. I was totally engaged and I felt physically very there. So it was very much a physical thing for me too, as well as an emotional thing. But there's a whole range of aspects to this question of engagement. And as I wrote in the, let's call it an abstract, the description of what I want to talk about in this session is the notion of engagement and why is it so important. I mean, it's been talked about all over the world. It's an interesting point on its own that all over the world, all kinds of learners are disengaging from the formal learning process. It's a whole issue in itself as to examine why, but as educators, we've got the unenviable task of trying to figure out how to re-engage these people. And thinking about this further, and I'm a technologist. I mean, I love technology, and I will often say I think you should let technology drive. But when I was thinking about the sorts of people in the projects that you've been working this with this year, I thought, really, it starts with you. And it probably applies in most educational settings anyway. You, the teacher, you, the lecturer, you, the trainer. If you don't like those people, if you don't like where you are, if you don't like what you're doing, and they don't like you, and they don't like each other, and we heard before lunch about the Portland and the Warrnambool people fighting on the bus on the way to their love-in. Unless people like each other, they like you, and they're there more or less of their own volition, learning's not going to take place. So, and you're crucial to that. There might be a superb activity, a wonderful piece of technology, but unless you, as the person who represents that learning environment, if you like, has an empathy and understanding towards the people who you're with, they're just going to go nowhere. And it's all comes under this heading of the affective domain. And it has astounded me over the years. I was an ESL teacher, that's where I got started, and I realised that when a group of students once upon a time came to me to complain about another teacher, their complaint was simply, "Michael, she never looks at us." And so they could never get anywhere with her because she wasn't there personally. And I think teaching's like that. And it's all about the affective stuff. It's the motivation, it's the emotional, it's the sympathetic, the empathetic. Primary tool of engagement is you. I'm going to tell some stories now. Some of you will know these, or will know this one. You've got your own stories from this year, but I just kind of trawled through my recent past to think of things that I thought were really good examples of engagement. And I am well aware that a lot of the things I'm going to say this afternoon, you know, because a lot of the things I'm going to mention you've done in your project, but maybe it was done in that project and not that one. So perhaps I've got the benefit of having a look at all of them, and perhaps it might be just, I might be a kind of a conduit through which you can share lots of things which is common to your project as a collective. So I'm not going to stand up here and pretend to tell you things that you haven't already discovered for yourself, but maybe I can collect some of the ideas into one place. A bit like an aggregator. I'm just an RSS feed. Bruce Enting, who many of you will know, he managed the e-learning for youth program last year and was one of the project managers in 2005, as many of you have had this year, had a group of disaffected, disengaged youth, and they were to learn to read and write. So Bruce is a literacy teacher, he brings them into a TAFE classroom. Bruce is dedicated, keen, passionate, lovely. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And after a few weeks, he realised he had to do something radical. And he, with the help of the local council, found a block of land that was pretty messed up with a bit of junk on it and needed cleaning and landscaping. Suggested it to these kids. Sure. And within a couple of weeks, he had them taking digital photographs of what they were doing, thoroughly enjoying the work, getting to know each other. And the end of the result was they produced a website of all the stuff they did. And guess what? They wanted to write they want to describe on this website what they'd done. Where, you know, 6 weeks before you couldn't get them to hold a pen or hit the keyboard, but once they had stuff they wanted to say, which meant something to them, where they had ownership, they were engaged and produced a whole lot of stuff. Moral of this story, get students out of the classroom and engaged in real world tasks. And the same moral applied to the Pod Tours project. Obviously in that project people love getting out of the classroom. David Jonasson is kind of the world's guru on this thing called constructivism, where you build on what people already know. You don't sort of dump knowledge on people. It's very much experiential and hands-on. And he came to Adelaide a couple of years ago and gave a presentation on this thing called constructivism. And people asked him there, how do you assess this stuff? And he told a story of a group of 14-year-olds somewhere in the US. They went to school at a place that had traffic jams routinely, every morning, every afternoon, right by the front door of the school near this major intersection. And short story is, they decided they would do a project on analysing why the problem was there and could they fix it. And he produced a series of slides, which I can't show you because I can't find them, and they created models of the solution they came up with. Models of, you know, streets, bus stops, shelters, houses, buildings. It was just a superb work of art with some documentation explaining the problem and what the solution was. And after he had explained and showed what these kids had done, of course the original question, how do you assess these children, was irrelevant. Because they'd assessed themselves. They'd solved the problem and clearly demonstrated that the problem was solved. The moral of this story, get students working on real problems. They can and will collaborate on tasks that are relevant to them. This story kind of reminded me of this guy. This is a kind of a story 2.5. This is Tom Woods, 15 years old, and he was the young man who took 40 minutes to crack the government's security program on the internet and then told John Howard it was a ridiculous waste of money. Why don't you just get children involved and they'll tell you how to set up a system which would actually be effective. So putting up an internet security system to a guy like Tom was like red rag to a bull. Let's see how long I can take to dismantle it. It took him 40 minutes. That's the kind of challenge we've got to throw to people. This is a lovely story, and there might be people in the room who were present at, it was a conference presentation by a woman somewhere in Australia in the last 2 years, and she spoke about working with street kids on the US that were causing trouble outside of her art studio. They were hanging around, doing nothing, making noise, and she went down and it started by saying, would you like to come in and do some painting? I've got an art studio here, lots of materials, lots of space. Lots and lots of kids took her up on the offer. She allowed them to paint the ceilings, the floors, the furniture, everything, and start actually painting. The end of that story was those kids were producing work for commercial sale, opened their own gallery, and within a year or two, they were credentialed artists who ran their own show, simply because someone had faith in these kids that they could do something of value. It really was a wonderful story. Was anyone there at that same session? I'd love to know the name of the woman. No, I've searched the internet. I can't find it. Story number four is a guy who was from Lefevre High School in Adelaide, near where Alison and I work. And a group of Lefevre High School students came to talk to Port Adelaide TAFE staff, about 50 of us, and that's a daunting enough prospect in itself for anyone to talk to a group of TAFE staff. This young man, about 16 years old, just stood there as it was like the captain of the school role, but he was representative of these students, and he told his story and said, for years I was just a troublemaker because I was asked to do stuff I wasn't interested in and I wasn't good at. He was talking about reading and writing, and he was talking about maths. I wasn't interested. The school decided that they would switch formats for their annual magazine and make it a CD and put out, you know, calls for interest to be the editor. This guy said, I'd love to do that. End of that story, he's producing this amazing thing and he's standing up in front of groups of adults as they moved around the state explaining his transformation in life and showing what he could do once he was given the thing he was interested in and he cared about. Moral, get students working on stuff they're interested in. Like, you know, maybe reading and writing is not the first step for some children. maybe some adults. I was an ESL teacher, as I said, and I was always wanting to talk about current affairs, politics, you know, issues like euthanasia with students who had very low levels, and I was always cautioned and counselled by people who were more experienced than me that, oh no, they can't do it. Their language level's too low. But, yes. Sorry, English is a second language. So these are adult migrants from various countries. And my experience is it didn't matter what their language level was. They cared and they'd find a way to say it. And they'd loved conversations about things like politics and ethical and political, social issues. So, and I think working with some of the groups that, you know, so-called marginalised, I think we can probably safely assume that all students have something to say about the bigger issues, politics, society, morality, and just because they don't present as the people who might be literate or educated or aware doesn't mean they don't have opinions, and if given the opportunity, they'll express them. They just need the time and the patience and the space where someone is actually genuinely interested. So that was a really interesting lesson for me, because people do want to talk about that stuff, whatever their skills are. Now, it's time to visit Twitter, which Harriet mentioned in her little session before lunch with Jackie. Twitter is a micro-blogging tool. It's a social network tool, and it's a way that you can get information of astounding irrelevance and fantastic importance all in the same strength. Stefan, so look in the same space, just looking at Stefan's comment. Ah, good, Stefan. Well, I'm about to go in there myself and ask a question. So I'm going to application share. People online, hold on to your hats. Your screen's going to change. Don't want the file transfer window. I want this. Hang on. I need to open up Twitter first. And let's hope Twitter's behaving. Looks like it's coming. It is. You in there, Harriet? Good. All right. All right. Illuminate, folks. Jo K has written, that's exactly how she knew this was on today, through Twitter. So I ask, or tell Illuminate, I want to share my desktop. Specifically, I want to share Twitter. And this fellow down here, this is the Stephen who's in Adelaide, who's talking us in Illuminate, so he's also in here. And I'm going to send a message. Hello, folks. Doing a presentation on tools for engagement. Any suggestions? All thoughts welcome. And I hit update here. Now, all the people who follow me, which is a bit of a strange phenomenon, but that's Twitter talk. These are all the people that follow me, and these are also the people in the main that I follow. So the people who share my Twitter network, and Harriet is on my Twitter network, but Harriet will be part of other Twitter networks that I'm not part of. So you just make a choice who you want to actually keep in touch with. And, I mean, you do come across stuff which is incredibly banal, and at some point, why would you want to know that about something? I mean, I'm going shopping, or I've just had a Coke, you know, like, big deal, who cares? But you will find stuff that you won't find anywhere else, because people share random thoughts about what's going on at any given time. This is a really engaging tool for the right type of person. Very unsophisticated, very untechnologically, you know, you don't need a lot of skills. Just to kind of dump anything in there and just have a conversation with your network. Okay, I'm going to.
Part of the joke is that you do share those irrelevant things that are completely banal, because that's exactly like real life. You don't have intense conversations on one subject for hours on end. You talk about the real stuff in between them.
Good point. That we share the banal in real life anyway. I mean, a lot of our face-to-face conversations, I mean, let's face it, it's just marking time, chewing the fat. It's hardly deep and meaningful. But I mean, that's an interesting point. And so when I'm, you know, if I'm with you in the room, well, I think I'm going to have a Coke now. I'm going to have a bit of cake or something. You don't find that weird. If I say it in Twitter, you think, well, how stupid's that? Why would you tell anyone that? It's just...
But part of that, I think, that helps in building relationships.
Yeah.
Allows you to have the in-depth conversations about the things that are important, because you know that they're like...
Well, Sue Waters in her lolly jar. Don't really care, Sue. Now, I put Audacity up here as just a kind of symbol, really, of media. And there's been, in the sessions that I heard both in online with the eShow and Tell Stuff 2 weeks ago and sessions I heard this morning, lots of you have used Audacity. I also put it up to kind of, well, complain, I suppose, that I can't do something that I was going to do. I asked Howard to send me some guitar music so I could play something over the top of it. So one of the things you can do in Audacity, apart from just record voice, is you can use it to sort of multi-track music. But I found out the sound card on this laptop won't do it. My old laptop used to, so I can't stand up here and say it's really easy to get your students to go ahead and do it, because you're completely at the mercy of the sound card that you're using. But let's talk about media in general. Why does media come up as a solution when we're talking about engaging people? I like this quote from Adrian Miles, who's here in Melbourne at RMIT, and he would like to make his institution and his teaching program more porous to the students' private technologies, their mobile phones, their laptops and their cameras. Now, that's for a university cohort or, you know, advanced TAFE. It's been really interesting listening to your various opinions about the role of technology in the lives of, say, youth at risk who maybe don't use technology, don't like technology, that only use their phones for talking and not as a camera, or don't even have a phone. So we just, as you have found out, and it's been really valuable for me to be kind of rewarned, don't make assumptions about any group and technology, but I still think on the whole, we do have this thing happening where we have these devices in our pocket most of the time, and a lot of people are using them to create media. Why are we creating? Well, I think, and this is not Adrian, this is me, I think there's an innate human characteristic to want to create. We just do. Most of us, somewhere all of us, in fact it's my tin pot theory about why some people go off the rails, I think we all either need to dance, sing, write, whatever, paint, we all need an expressive creative outlet, and if we don't do it we go nuts, frankly, and you can see it time and time again, and you can see why therapeutic art, or sort of art, what's it called? Art therapy, is a really powerful and productive strategy, because it unlocks for people what is actually locked. So I don't think we should ever hesitate at any point, for any reason, with any group, to encourage creating, because it's an innate thing and it actually contributes to balance and mental health. And the ubiquity and ease of these participatory media enables the creation of art, film, documents, course content. Have you ever thought about when you're creating content for instruction, you're creating all the time, an order, layout, formatting, images you might use. We used to do it on paper. We do it even more so electronically when we create PowerPoints and things. We do create. And it was a great quote that Tracy, I think, used before lunch. She said, podcasts are great tools for assessments. So don't just think of media as something for aimless creation or to satisfy some kind of artistic thing that people may have. I mean, you can do that and get it to satisfy a real world educational task all in one stroke. So that's why we talk about media. So even though I'm thinking that really the primary tool of engagement is you, closely followed, I think, are all these examples of fantastic media. And again, I'm just sort of reiterating to people online, I'm not really able to follow what's happening there in the text chat. So Alison, I can see you're in there, thank you. So let's have a few look at a few examples. I'm going to use this example here as one that Well, it's a photo story, and many of you are familiar with photo story, and I know lots of them, lots of you used them in your projects this year. And folks online, this is going to open up in a different window, and hopefully all will be well. Sorry for the abrupt end, but we need to move on. This was done as an assessment. So Brian Jepps, a lecturer in Adelaide in building and construction, Brian's always looking for different things to engage his students and also to make life easier for him. What he used to have to do before he got students doing that was stand and watch every single one of them demonstrate that they knew how to use that power tool. He hit on the notion of, okay, go off in pairs, told them about digital storytelling, gave them a camera if necessary, you know, borrowed from the library, but basically a lot of them used their phones, they created these, and they are for assessment, so he can tick the boxes and they know how to use his hand and power tool. And guess what? Brian's also got a bank of resources which he can use for the next course, next semester. And so, great idea. Very engaging. Students loved it. Okay, now some other ones that, one very recent one, which I need to go into the internet and bring up the right page. So folks online, I'm going to application share again, and I'm going to application share a website that's got some media in it, so I don't know how it's going to work for you, but we can but try. Starting application sharing now. Animoto is a new tool that allows you to put up a series of photographs and to put up a piece of music, and it joins the two. And the neat thing about it is it creates an animated movie based on like the pulse, the rhythm, the volume of your music. So it interprets your music to create a slideshow. And let's see if it works.
Thank you.
just music, you get a much more manic effect. So if you're into that kind of music, that's the effect you're going to get on your Animoto. I found that really engaging, because when you create digital stories, you're actually in control, and there are times when you want to be in control because you want to say, I want this image for 3 seconds and I want that audio over that picture, but what this does is it just brings out a surprise packet. So it's great just to chuck in some photos, chuck in some music, so to speak, and it creates the product for you. That's Animoto. Where are we? Back here, let's see. No, we don't need to go back there. Hope I didn't close Illuminate, did I? That'd be tragic. No, I didn't. I need to stop app sharing. Okay. Now, I've got the mobile phone listed there, but I'm not going to say anything more about that today, apart from what we've already said. Some of you well know you can use your phone to send photographs directly to Flickr. I could take a photo with this right now, and 30 seconds later it's on the web. I could record a little movie in here. I can record audio and send it straight to the web. Fantastic media creation devices. I want to highlight this one here, VoiceThread, because it's a new one. And it's a really good one. So more application sharing, folks, and this could be problematic. But how long have I got?
About 5 minutes.
Okay, thanks. And to get the URL of this, I have to actually go into PowerPoint. Edit hyperlink. I'll see. I know, it's a shame. Come on, I just want a new window. Alright, we won't take a new window, we'll do this. When you application share in Illuminate, you've got to open the window first on your computer, and then you can application share it in Illuminate. Well, let's just make sure that should be okay. All right, folks, about to try application sharing again. Great. VoiceThread is a wonderful new tool that is available where you can actually have multiple narrators on the one slide. And this was a great idea from Alex Hayes, who's co-LearnScope manager in New South Wales. And because LearnScope's coming to an end, he put up this image, a mosaic of all these images from LearnScope, and just told everybody, his network actually, via Twitter, would you like to go and say something about LearnScope? So if I click on Alex's name here.
G'day folks, it's Alex Hayes, the New South Wales LearnScope Project Officer. I'm beginning this VoiceThread as we have news of the 2008-2011 Australian Flexible Learning Framework. Directions. And
so Alex makes a few suggestions for people to say, and I can leap to anyone here. Let's go to Alison Wood.
Hi, I'm Alison Wood. I'm an assistant director at Bramwell College in Sydney Institute in TAFE, New South Wales. I've been involved with LearnScope over a number of years. My first project was in 2000 when I was a project manager. That was at Petersham College, and I think
you get the idea. And so there have been about 15 people have come here and commented on LearnScope. So you can have an image, and my goal would be teaching a class is that at the end of the course, end of the project, you have a class photo and you have everybody's voice here saying something about the project. So it's a record that each person can take away as a souvenir of the course or class. That's VoiceThread. That That mosaic that we saw in there was actually created by a site called bighugelabs.com. So we'll go there briefly, because it is worth knowing about. I couldn't believe this existed. And you and students you work with will have a lot of fun in here. I'm going to app share again, folks. Big Huge Labs works closely in conjunction with Flickr, and Flickr, for those who may not know, is the probably the most famous repository, online repository for photographs, social networking tool, free. And if you go into Big Huge Labs, you can do all of these things, like create mosaics, and that's down here, there is the mosaic maker. So Alex made that photo with them. He put a selection of his photos or selection of other people's photos, told this tool to make a mosaic of all those photos, and it did. You can do things like use the billboard tool. So get a photograph from Flickr and put your photo on the billboard, and you can put yourself up with movie stars. There's a whole range of amazing things here to waste entire days, and who might even have some educational use. Something else I found out through Twitter, through Flickr, was that I can actually use my photographs on Flickr to make these cute little business cards. Now, these are all with my photographs on them. And there's my details on the back. So wouldn't it be a great thing to do, to get students taking photographs and deciding which ones they're going to use? I mean, you can have, they come in packs of 100, so you could have 100 different photos from 100 different students, or, you know, multiples thereof. A little box like this costs $30. Comes neatly packaged and wrapped, and there's something else you can do with Flickr. Ending the app sharing once more. And of course, returning to our list there, blogs, wikis, podcasts, the most well-known podcast sites being Podomatic and Odeo. Let's move on. Once you've got your students doing something, where there's an object, an artifact, something to look at, I don't think we can ever, I mean, there are students who don't like it, it's true, but I think the majority of students actually appreciate the fact that work goes to a wider audience. The comment there in blue is from a student in Venezuela who was a student of Daphne. Daphne's a webhead, an online community. The webheads are an online community. And Maria says, I was really surprised to see all the people who wrote about our wiki. It's so cool because it's from all different places of the world. I think it's so great. So her enthusiasm and her kind of level of engagement as a result of someone else from the rest of the world noticing and acknowledging and commenting on her work is clear. So it used to strike me as a really kind of artificial thing to do. You know, you get your students to do something, you put it on the internet, and then you tell all your friends, go and have a look at it and say something. But this is the result of it. That it actually becomes, it's almost part of my day now, that somewhere in the world, someone somewhere will say, Michael, will you have a look at this stuff and see what you think? And you just put a comment, really brief, or as long as you like. But for students, it's enormous. The impact is quite, maybe not profound, but it's a very large and engaging factor for students to have other people beyond their immediate sphere of influence, if you like, or people they know, to say something positive and acknowledge their work. I can't recommend this highly enough. Virtual classrooms, like what we're doing right here, not much to say except a couple of things. Here in Victoria, I think the person who now really is the obvious person to go to when you want to engage people in a virtual classroom is Ken Gooding. Ken, who works for eWorks now, has an amazing collection of games you can use in a virtual classroom, like Hangman and Jeopardy and How to Be a Millionaire, and he's just, they're fantastic. So just, if you want to know how to use virtual classrooms in an engaging fashion, I'd talk to Ken. There were a couple of comments in the projects from some of you, can't remember exactly which ones, that virtual classrooms didn't cut it for your students, and that's particularly with younger ones. And it's often the case when they come in here, they look and think, well, that's not very look cool, or to use the word that's been used a couple of times lately, lame. That's pretty lame. And a couple of years ago, we had a guy called Tom Dawkins who looks after an online social action site called Vibewire do a keynote for us as in a framework event, because we knew he was a good speaker. And he said, well, this is pretty lame, but anyway, I'll do it. And at the end of it, he said, actually, that was great. I had no idea you could do all this stuff. So don't let people look at this on face value and think, well, that's pretty lame. Get them in there and doing things and seeing, you know, after they've had some experience, whether or not they are prepared to give it another chance. Because I think these are some of the most engaging tools on the planet, without any doubt. Now, one of the projects, again, can't remember which, mentioned chats with heroes. And I've had this idea for a while, and Georgina, you and I have talked about this. You know, imagine if a group of Indigenous students, you've got someone like Michael Long or Peter Burgoyne or other high-profile AFL footballer to talk to a bunch of students using this. So they're sitting in a room just like you, and Michael Long starts talking to them and asking them questions. You know, for the sake of argument, senior or mature age people, Philip Nitschke. The fact is, you never know until you ask. And so many times you hear these high-profile people, they respond. The guy who writes in the daily paper, in the sort of the daily, what do you call it, I don't know, sort of human interest column, Rex Jory in Adelaide, my wife wrote to him, said, I teach ESL, my students would love to communicate with you about what you write for a couple of days. Would that be right? Yeah, sure. Emails went back and forth. You never know until you ask, because this technology actually gives you a straight line of connection often to the people in influence. We are no longer separated. And that's a good thing for our students to know, these disenfranchised, sort of marginalised people, that maybe Rex Jory will talk to them, maybe Michael Long will talk to them. Just ask. You never know, because there is not such a huge gap now between them and the so-called echelons of influence. So the whole idea of social justice, and, you know, appeal to people's good sides, and I know often people that you're working with are the people who are in most need of social justice, but that doesn't mean they're not open to the idea of doing a bit of giving themselves. In fact, they might be the best people at it. I just like to flag whenever I can this site Kiva. And whenever people badmouth the internet and trot out all the wicked and nasty things which are happening out there on the internet, all of which is true, it's nice to balance it with other stories like Kiva. Kiva is a site where people in the developed world can put a little photograph and description of a business they'd like to run. Typically these people are broke. All they want is maybe $500, maybe $2,000. It's a bigger venture. And you, me, anyone around the world can donate to that person, and you can watch their tally go up until they get there required amount, and then 6 months later they'll report back and say, this is what's happened. You can actually, it's like sponsoring a business. You can donate directly. Kiva is just a wonderful initiative that's just makes you feel good about being alive. And of course, we have to think about courses sometimes and content, rather than just mucking around on Twitter and creating, you know, animotos. I was really interested to see that a number of projects used the toolboxes, and some of you had really good outcomes from that, but there were at least one where the toolbox was, I don't know, lame or didn't work for that particular group. But the toolboxes are always there as something to try, and you can break them down, of course. You don't have to use the whole toolbox. You can now use just parts of it. And I had a little experience with Moodle. I know other learning management systems do this. The other day, and a guy back at TAFE in Adelaide wanted just a little bit of a toolbox for auto, and using Moodle just has this brilliant little tool which you just import, you know, this bit of toolbox, and it took 10 seconds. There it is, built in, all ready to run in Moodle. The use of audio, there's lots and lots and lots we could say about using audio for teaching, but let's just hear from Glenda McPherson in Gips TAFE. And online folks, this is going to come up as a blank screen because it's audio only.
I just happened to be on the train coming home from Melbourne on Monday with one of our guest students, and she's talking to our staff member about this particular course, saying how much she loved it. It was just so good. And she loved the fact that she could hear voices, and she was thrilled. And I know that that's just one example of comments that the teachers can give from their students, which is wonderful.
Has student satisfaction improved due to
GET Centre is, I can't remember what GET stands for, but it's for students with a disability, and it's where they go to get their learner's and driver's licence. And they have decided to put the entire course in audio, and as you can hear from Glenda, it's been a wonderful outcome for staff and students on that program. Surveys. Look, I was really intrigued, and I missed the session before lunch when I can't remember who, but someone from CY O'Connor was talking in detail about using surveys almost like a delivery and assessment tool. So maybe I'd like to follow up with you later, but these are really engaging tools because we all like to know what we think. So ask people questions and you get the answer back in this kind of format. So it's tabled and with percentages, and so, you know, there's your collective opinion up there. Great places to start discussions or create new surveys. So survey tools are a great way of, I think, engaging a group of people and having them explore their collective opinions. We've looked at Second Life. Well, we looked at it right at the beginning. Joe Kay, I'm not giving you the microphone. But Joe Kay, who's in Illuminate with us right now, is probably Australia's, certainly in education circles, premier Second Life expert and exponent practitioner, waving to everyone. Thank you, Joe. And this graphic here is, you can see at the back, this was Joecadia, which is one of spaces in Joe's Second Life world, and it was an event created for the eShow and Tell, or was it eLearn 07, Joe, or both? Anyway, you can get the idea that there are avatars in there and you can put up labels and boards and signs, and you can, it's the Sydney Institute space. Thanks, Joe. LearnScope is training in Second Life. Okay. When this PowerPoint that I'm using in Illuminate will be on the web, and I'll give it to Alison and Howard so to, you know exactly where it is. All the links in here will be, that's a live link, so when you actually go to the PowerPoint later, if you go, and click that, it will take you to a list of resources that Joe and Sean Fitzgerald have created about using Second Life in education, and it's a very impressive list. Looking at David's comment. Thank you, David, but I think that's the last of them, but thanks for that comment. I am not going, oh, maybe we'll just have a look at a couple. All right, then we won't. Chatting with Alice the Robot is actually that. Alice the Robot, you can say, hi, Alice, and she'll write back, hi, how are you? And you can have a conversation in chat with Alice. Google Fights are good fun because in a serious sense, if you want to know what's the difference or what is more used, what will you do versus what are you going to do, Google will bring up the number of times each is used. And so you can say, see, this is more used than that one. Or if you want to argue about who's more famous, you can stick in, you know, two people's names and Google will tell you in seconds who is commented on more often on the internet. So it's just a bit of fun, frivolous, unanticipated nonsense, and this is a acronym that was coined by Vance Stevens, who is the founder of the Webhead community. Because of Twitter, I found Scrabulous the other day. If you want to play Scrabble with a robot, Scrabble with other people, Scrabble, I mean, it's got me. Good fun.
I can spend hours playing
Scrabble. So I've been talking about engagement. We all talk about engagement. And this conversation, or this question actually came out of a conversation with someone who lives here in Melbourne who said, I'm sick to death of hearing about engagement. Engagement for what? So that's my question to you in the last 5 minutes. What are we talking about? What's the point of it all? Why do we care about this? Anyone? Maybe we don't. No, we do. Of course we do. But for what? What I see often, and I've been guilty of this same thing too, and it's particularly understandable when you're dealing with people, you just rap that they show up. If they show up and take one photograph and stick it on the internet, well, that's brilliant, but you know, that's not the end of the line. And it's not the end of the line for anybody. So I just think we need to be a little bit more, you know, tough with ourselves, and I think it's Jackie we have to teach them to take responsibility. And how hard do you push? Well, that's the difficulty, isn't it? But what we don't want to stop and say, oh, that student's engaged, that's fantastic. That's not the end of the line. That's the start of the journey. And of course, what you want to do is maintain that level of engagement. But we don't want to get into this sort of, I know at times that's all you can do, but to stop that sort of warm, fuzzy, that's great, well done, when really what that student needs is, well, okay, what are you going to do with that? That's a great first step. Let's take it somewhere. Maybe it's in this context. I always feel a bit hypocritical talking about goal setting because I almost never do it, and I have almost never done it. I'm not one of those people. I can function to about 6 months ahead, and that's about it. It's my life's been just a wonderful accident, but I'm not recommending that as a way to live, because what I know from working with other people, this goes back to ESL teaching, I used to do this kind of thing with people. They've arrived in Australia, they've got dreams. What is the dream? That's your goal. Okay, back here is where you are. What are you going to do to get here, to here, to here? And it's a really interesting exercise for people to actually break this down. They've got some vague notion, if they've got a notion at all, this is what they're going to be. No idea what it entails. And it might mean, well, find out what qualifications are needed. Find out where it's taught. Find out what level you might need. Find out whether or not there's a whole lot of steps in there. And it's a really interesting exercise to get people to think of a goal. And it might be as little as, you know, I want to be able to buy a present for my mum in 3 weeks. Okay, what are the steps between now and achieving that? Because so often people don't think about, before lunch we heard people, the detail. When people, I think it was the Pod Tours group, they have no idea that they've learnt. They've learnt all this stuff because they've done an activity which seems incidental. So that tracking of what they've done is part of that same process. I used to sit down, and again I'm using ESL students, but I think it's a valid comparison. We used to have to exit them with resumes, portfolios. It was print only, paper-based in those days. And I, well, what have you done that we could put in your portfolio? You can guess the answer, nothing. You know, these are people who are 40 years old. Oh, you must have done something. No, nothing. Did you go to school? Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Where did you go to school? Here. What did you study? Okay, so you've got all the education stuff. Anything after school? Yeah, actually, this. And it's really tedious, but it's so rewarding because in the end, everybody can come up with 2 pages of stuff they've done, stuff they know, skills they've learnt, and hopefully back up recommendations from people they know who will support this person. So you've got a record, you've got something to take away with you so that you're now worth something. So I just think, and again, I might be telling you how to suck eggs, you may have done all of this, but it seems to me it's not just a question of engagement for engagement's sake. There has to be some question of where people are going, and to have a really good understanding that when they did that, oh, I'm not going to have time to go back to Twitter. There's a few slides here on what an excellent teacher is, but I want to conclude with the sorts of things we've been talking about. So engaged learners are supported, respected, empowered, valued, liked, challenged. We could add a whole list of other adjectives to this. And perform activities that are task-oriented, challenging, student-centric, authentic, fun, and, well, I'm going back to where we started, that it all starts with you. I think that's a bit of a risky place to end, actually, because we don't want to make it us-centred, but we do need to recognise that even in a student-centred environment, I think it's really basic. They've got to like you, and you've got to like them, and they really preferably should like each other. Harry, can you tell us what happened on Twitter? Did anything happen? Were there any responses?
Yes, there were some.
And then I'll go away, Howard.
Okay.
I'm just bringing it up here now. Flick it, online folks, you can't see it. I'm just bringing up my update on... Nah, it's taking too long to come. Yeah. Thank you, that was a good idea. Okay, Second Life, of course. That's all. Alright, so that didn't... So many other engaging tools, Alison said. But you get the idea. Ask a question. You may get an answer. Folks in Illuminate, thanks for being here. Sorry you were kind of basically ignored, but, you know, you get used to it after a while, don't you? And thanks, everybody. That's the end of this presentation.
Sorry. So I think as we move away from being the sage on the stage, even though that's what you were today, into what they call the guide on the side, you know, we are coaches and we're mentors, and what we need to do is have some hooks to either get them started or get us started or keep us going. And I think Michael's given us a whole menu of these hooks that you can take back and at least choose one or two of them and hopefully hook either some staff members or some of your clients. And I'd like to present you with a nice bottle of South Australian wine. So. Thank you very much.
And folks online.
Bring in the divider.
Oh, no. Shut down. Bye.
Oh, it's divider. And on the left, on this divider, will be.
Really? Yeah?